I replaced all my Lululemon shorts with Bird Dogs. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing, but fit way better. They actually look like khaki shorts, so I can wear them all day, for my morning hike or bike ride to the bar. I can't stop wearing them. Join over 1 million guys who discovered the best shorts on the market. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB. Promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you.
Rocking and rolling, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. You can watch this man who's going to join us right now on CBS Sports HQ. You can listen to him Monday through Friday on many of these same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time. And that, of course, is Bill Ryder, who used to be the host of the Ryder Than You program in this time slot right here on CBS Sports Radio. Bill, how you been?
Zach Gelb, I'm better now, buddy. What's up?
I'm doing fantastic. Can't complain. I am annoyed, though, at Damian Lillard. Dame has been my favorite player in the league. I've always admired his loyalty, but it seems like now this loyalty to Portland is insanity, and I don't get why he keeps on giving the Trailblazers the benefit of the doubt.
Well, look, I think it's an open question whether or not he is. My understanding, talking to folks, is he's willing to stay if they can build a winner around him and bring in the pieces that would make that at least feasible, and that's an open question. But I think, Zach, he's also willing to go if he thinks they can't. So I'm with you, but at least he's at a point now where he's opened the idea of going somewhere else, and that at least is progress for one of the game's, I think the game's best player, not to have had any legitimate chance to experience postseason success.
I got a chance. I don't want to look too much into social media, but he liked some post about having Zion land with the Portland Trailblazers. Is that really going to be enough for him to say, okay, a guy that's never available, now is enough for me to stay to go win a championship?
Yeah, never available and some issues on Twitter. Look, I think it would be enough if it could happen as a marker of opportunity and a potential level of ceiling for that player, for Zion. That said, everything I've heard, and this is all in flux, and we'll see, is that it's likely that Scoot Henderson, who is really coveted by New Orleans, will go to Charlotte, which means the pick that Portland has and presumably would need to send to get Zion will not have the same value to the organization that currently has Zion Williamson. So, yes, I think if Zion came in, that would be enough. Because you're right, Dame wants to err on the side of staying there, as I understand it. But I don't think it's going to trend that way. I don't think they're going to land him.
If it's not Zion Williamson, I saw that Jake Fisher was throwing out Bam Adebayo or Paul George. Do you think that is at all likely? The Bam one really made me scratch my head because we kept on linking Dame to Miami. You wouldn't think Bam would be joining him in Portland.
All right, so I don't know Jake Fisher at all. I have a lot of respect for his work, though. I think he's really good. I'm sure the people in Portland are preparing an offer, but I'm also, if I ever bump into Taylor Swift, despite being happily married, preparing an offer to take her out on a Friday night. I'm not sure, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure that makes it a realistic possible outcome. I can ask. I think we all know, Tay-Tay, what's up? It's Bill Ryder. I think we all know what the answer is going to be. So I everything I've heard from people in Miami, and I'm pretty well sourced there from my time covering that team a long time ago, is that they believe, I think rightfully, but they believe that they have a window, a championship window, that is, you know, 1 to 3 more years with Jimmy Butler as the crux of that. And I just can't imagine a scenario where they trade away Bam, because what they get in return is one or two of those young guys in that roster and the third overall pick. That's a nice return for a rebuilding team or maybe a team that's looking to sort of transition to being competitive in 2 or 3 or 4 years. As I understand it, Zach, that's not the timeline that Miami's on. So I don't think that makes any sense. And I think, like me asking Tay-Tay if I bump into her, if she wants to have dinner, the answer will be a very quick no.
Well, can you just come clean to everyone in the listening audience? You've dated Taylor Swift before, and you're the guy that she keeps on talking about when you broke up with her.
Look, I wish I was. I'm not. But I did once have a moment with Riri, and that's a real thing that happened for about 13 magical seconds on the floor of Staples Center. Now, there are sources who think she might have had indigestion, but I gave her a confident head nod, and I felt like we had a moment, Zach. But no Taylor Swift. Yeah, but I haven't met Taylor. So, like, maybe when we meet, there's some charm in there that I haven't tapped into yet.
Bill Reiter here with us. How likely is it that Dame winds up in Miami? I know what Pat Riley said today about how much they love Tyler Hero and he's not going anywhere, but I kind of rolled my eyes at that stuff.
Yeah, look, so Tyler Hero, I think you're right. I think you're right to roll your eyes. Because, look, I think the answer to your question is, what's the odds? 29.5%. I think it's possible. I think that Portland wants to hang on to Damian Lillard. And I think Lillard has now gone so far down this rabbit hole of I don't want to leave that it's going to take a lot. Because for him to go to Miami, he doesn't just have to decide he wants to leave, which is one step he's never made, Zach. He also has to go that route where he forces his way Bradley Beal style, where he says, I want to go here. That's the only place I want to go. I don't care what your return is. Because Tyler Hero and a bunch of, you know, future picks is fine. It's probably not enough. And that presumes that the Portland values Hero at that level. That said, I mean, you're right. The Miami Heat were better when Tyler Hero was out offensively in the postseason. Maybe it's coincidental. Maybe it's not. They went from being the 27th best three-point shooting team in the regular season with Hero mostly around to the best three-point shooting team in the postseason with him mostly gone. There are certainly people, this is not agreed upon 100%, but certainly people in the Heat front office who think maybe Hero, as good as he is, isn't the right fit and they're better without him. I think they move on for him for a guy like Dame. I really do. I'm just not sure Portland is going to do that unless Lillard forces their hand.
Why hasn't he forced their hand yet? Because that's the part to me, Bill Reiter, that's still confusing. I get it. He didn't want to just dip and not be loyal to the team. But at this point, everyone would understand if Dame was like, okay, they're wasting my prime years. I got to go somewhere else.
I think it's sort of like, I know it's sort of naive, but I think he loves Portland and the organization. I'm going to forget the name, but do you remember in The Sopranos where Tony's rival was the mafia boss in Manhattan and Tony was the mafia boss in Jersey?
Yeah.
And that mafia boss in Manhattan, for lack of a better term, had a wife who was not the ideal that is presented to her. She was a larger lady.
Yes.
She was a larger lady. And but he loved her. And they make, right, the whole thing for two seasons. You can describe Portland as an unattractive woman or man, but in this case, woman. And that can be real and that can be true and everybody can see it. I think Dame actually loves him. And that's a hard thing to push through.
It's a very good comparison right there. You almost went down the road of Charles Barkley talking about San Antonio woman as well.
I'm trying to be polite, but also give you the facts.
How did you react to the deal of Bradley Beal going to the Suns? Like, okay, I get why the Suns would do it. You basically gave up nothing to go get him. And Chris Paul, your best friend, will wind up somewhere else because we know he's not going to stick around with the Wizards. But I don't look at the Suns as this team now that's all of a sudden to be a lock to go win a championship because those three guys do a lot of the similar things and there's availability problems.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Look, I think they're obviously dangerous and there's an amazing ceiling and they're going to be fun to watch. And it's a great big three, but there's a lot, you're right, there's a lot of question marks. Durability, especially Beal and Durant, but Devin Booker missed a bunch of time this past year, is one of them. Defense is certainly one of them. Chemistry is one of them. And depth is a really serious concern. As good as KD had it with Clay and Steph, there's a lot of depth on those Warriors teams. And as poorly as Kevin Durant performed with Harden and Kyrie and then just with Kyrie, there was depth on those teams too. There is none in Phoenix. They don't know each other. They haven't played together. Durant, Booker, and Beal basically occupy the same idea, the same role on that team. Now, the flip side of that, I know, and I know Matt Ishby and people in that Phoenix organization, as you noted, said, dude, we're already all in on Durant. We traded away our first-round picks to get KD. This price was too good. We might as well have gone for it. I get it, and they'll say, they're probably right, that those three guys can get 100 points a night some nights between them. But I'm with you. I think there's a championship upside there, no doubt. There's so many question marks that it's just as likely to go the way as the Brooklyn Nets as it is some successful super team.
Bill Reiter, what is the role of Isaiah Thomas in the Suns organization? Because I saw those comments by your best friend Chris Paul about how Isaiah had a role in this deal.
So this is sourced. This I know for fact. This is certainty. It's extraordinarily impactful. And Isaiah, who, full disclosure, I wrote a story about, I don't know, 12 years ago when he was banished from the NBA and coached at FIU and I was covering the Heat. and I spent a lot of time with him. I like Isaiah Thomas. I just do. I know him in the minority in New York City, maybe elsewhere. I like the guy. He is, but that, you know, whatever that's worth, he is incredibly influential. He is, I think, the second most important voice in that organization, absolutely after Matt Ishbia, the new owner. I think James Jones has lost a remarkable amount of power. And while I believe there's a chance, speculating here, that I think he'll have a real and probably substantial title in the next 3 to 6 weeks, I don't think it matters. Matt Ishbia is bold and impatient and ornery and trying to make moves now, and the person who has his ear is Isaiah Thomas.
So what I'm hearing from that explanation is that you don't like Chris Paul, and you advised Isaiah Thomas to trade Chris Paul.
So look, I actually don't like Chris Paul, as you know, but I think the way look, this is a big if in my experience with Chris, but if Chris is telling the truth, and he probably is, that James Jones told him nothing to worry about, and then a short time later, Chris Paul Jr. called CP3, the old man, and said, you're traded. That's not how you treat people. You can trade a guy. You can trade him against his will. That's not how you treat people. But, yeah, I think Chris Paul has had trouble staying healthy. I don't know if this is true, but I heard some rumblings that him and Kevin Durant weren't best friends, right? Not that it was awful or toxic, but that it wasn't great. He's obviously, Chris Paul, closer to 40 than 30. I certainly would have moved on for Chris Paul, but I'm not sure it would have. Look, I get why they went for Bradley Beal, and if they trade DeAndre Ayton for some depth, if there's value there, it makes sense. But for me, Chris Paul's not the issue. I would have moved on from him, although you're right, Zach. It does make me smile because Chris and I don't like CP3 and I don't like each other. But I think the issue is depth. But I did not – A, Isaiah wouldn't listen to me, and B, I did not advise him. But I do think it's telling – I do think it's telling that in the media tours yesterday, Chris Paul said, James Jones told me that I was fine, and that I wasn't. To me, that reflects what I've heard, which is James Jones, who's technically president of basketball ops and GM, has lost a lot of power.
I thought Adam Silver was going to drop the hammer on Ja Morant. Did you find 25 games to be a little bit surprising? I thought it was going to be more than that.
Yeah, we're on the same page. I thought it was the low end of what needed to happen, but I thought 30 or 35 or 40 was appropriate, and I am not the commissioner, but I would have punished him more, and not out of any need to be punitive for the sake of being punitive. I just think, Zach, it's clear. I'm not sure your take on this, but the guy's already been suspended. He did the same thing. He hasn't learned. He's jeopardizing his career and what it can be to the NBA. I thought they'd do more.
By the way, the happiest person today has to be Zion Williamson because Mariah Mills' Twitter account got suspended. Do you think Zion, by the end of the draft on Thursday, will still be a Pelican?
Oh, man, by the way, that Twitter account that is now suspended, it's such a shame because reading it was magic, even if it was darkness.
You know what? It was entertaining like the first 2 days. When it went on for a week, I think it outwore its welcome a little bit.
Did you I want to agree because you're correct morally. Your moral compass is pointing due north. But I read every tweet, and I couldn't stop reading it. What makes me a bad person? I mean, yeah, she went off the deep end or whatever. You're right. I think he will be. I think it would take a really special circumstance. And as I understand it, they love Scoot Henderson. They're probably not going to get him. He's probably going to go number two. Even if Scoot fell to three and there was a deal with the Portland, as we discussed, I don't think it's a slam dunk for New Orleans by any stretch. So I think that they're going to keep him. But the fact that it's out there and it's clearly been considered, if not offered, by Portland, I think tells you something about their understanding of how unreliable, talented, his upside's huge, but how unreliable he is.
The Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes obviously won by the Spurs. The immediate impact for Victor Wembanyama in the league is what?
Look, I think in the short term it's like cool, it's exciting. Also, Spurs have a ton of cap space. It's really like, it'll be fun for a year or two to see what he evolves into. I mean, the consequence for me, Zach, just selfishly, and no offense, are you on the air in San Antonio? San Antonio, I'm sorry, I love you, just not in June. The consequence for me is I'm going to spend a lot of time in San Antonio covering the finals or conference finals in like 3 to 5 years. Assuming he's healthy, everything I've heard from people, and people that are sober and that are straight-faced and that tend not to be hyperbolic, is that the dude is just an app. Like, everything we've heard, he is times 12, right? He's that good. They're obviously well run. Maybe it's Popovich 3 years from now. Maybe it's not him. But the impact is going to be the Spurs are going to be a force. If he's healthy, let's just like put the asterisk there, and he is going to change the game. He is a unicorn, even among unicorns.
Hey, by the way, was this toy gun excuse actually a toy gun? Because I saw some video the other day that it looked like it was a toy gun with going back to John Morant.
Yeah, I don't think it matters, right? Like, I think, like, that is.
I think it's actually worse, honestly, because he's kind of posing to be, you're 23 years old. What are you using a toy gun for after what you just did?
And that's my thing. It's like, hey, Ja, hey, buddy, the issue is the image and your disrespect, or at least perceived disrespect, to Adam Silver after he met with you. I've seen the same videos. I'm not an expert on toy guns versus real guns. I know you can get really good replicas. It's a distinction without a difference for me, but if you made me bet, I'd probably go -120 it was real.
And then finally, Bob Huggins, you see what his daughter said, that he's a recycling enthusiast, and that's why he had all those cans in his car.
So I covered Bob Huggins back in the day. I wrote a really aggressive investigative story about him when he went to Kansas State, and his response was, I don't care, do you want to hang out? I mean, he's cool, man. Like, I love Huggy. I mean, he's great, but he obviously, if I can speculate on something that's serious, has a problem, has a drinking problem, with all respect to his daughter, and I mean this as kindly as I can, because if I ever have demons, I hope my daughter loves me enough to say something that stupid, even if she keep it to herself. It's not a recycling issue. The old man obviously had problems, and it is a shameful, appropriate, but sad exit for a guy who was awesome at his job, and obviously terrible at something that's a lot more important.
Last thing I'll ask you, Bill Ryder, what's the story right now in the NBA world that really gets you going, where you want to see how it's going to end out from now until the draft?
Ooh, that's a great question. You know what? For me, and I know we've already talked about this, I want to know two things. I'll give you like an obvious one and an under-the-radar one. Damian Lillard and his destination, I think he's going to stick around, but I don't think it's a guarantee. I actually love Dame, and I love Portland. It's like my fourth favorite city in America.
Double happy hour, nothing like it.
I love Portland, dude, but he's been loyal. It's time to move on. I also heard a while back and heard this again that LeBron's moody. I mean, let's be straight, Zach. LeBron changes his mind on people, and you hear something that he thinks that can be true one minute. By the time sources tell you, it's changed. But I've heard he's over Anthony Davis. He's frustrated with the guy. He doesn't believe in his toughness for obvious reasons. So I'm extremely curious if the Lakers, I don't think they will, but do anything really bold. Maybe move AD. I don't think they're going to. I'm not saying they're going to. I'm just saying LeBron's angry. He's put out. He doesn't believe in his number two. I think L.A. is under a lot of pressure to do something big from LeBron.
LeBron will be back with the Lakers, though, next year. This stuff of him joining Kyrie and Dallas with Luka is a bunch of nonsense, right?
Yeah, have I given you my me dating Taylor Swift comparison? Because it still applies. Yes. Kyrie is more delusional about LeBron going to Dallas than I am about wooing Taylor Swift with my tennis skills. Yes, he's not going to Dallas.
Is Kyrie, though, in Dallas next year?
I think he is in the short term, because I think they value him financially, right? And I guess otherwise, but they're going to pay him what almost no one else will. I don't know if that'll remain true at the deadline, but as you know, Zach, I think Kyrie Irving is a straight loser. I think he's talented. I think he's massively amazing at basketball. I think he's an individual star. I think he's a loser by the definition of he loses. And this is like the stats back this up. So I don't think it's going to work, and I think Dallas will eventually move him, but my guess is he's there. That's where he re-signs in the offseason.
So just going back to what you said about AD, and then we'll let you run, Bill Ryder, you think there's a chance, like an actual legit chance, that he could be dealt at some point this offseason?
I think there's a that's not true. I think there's a 3.5% chance. So is that a chance? I think that if Rob Palenka, here's what I'll say, because I first heard this before the trade deadline. If Rob Palenka hadn't pulled off such a, I think, really impressive slate of moves at the trade deadline and brought in these random guys that became not so random and made the Lakers a team that obviously made the conference finals, if that hadn't happened, my percentage would be higher. There's a bit of a power struggle or a political struggle going on between LeBron and Palenka. LeBron obviously wants what he wants, but I think Palenka's got some political capital now with Jeannie Buss and that organization. And frankly, with all of us who thought he was just an idiot, he's not as it relates to being a GM. So I don't think Palenka is just going to bow down to what LeBron wants, especially moving on from Anthony Davis. But I do think that LeBron's over AD, and I think there's a, not 0% chance that something like that could happen.
Bill Ryder, appreciate it. Make sure you listen to him, of course, Monday through Friday, 10 to noon Eastern, and you can always watch him on CBS Sports HQ. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, buddy.
There you go. Bill Ryder. How about that? Joining us on CBS Sports Radio. Always love our conversations with Bill Ryder. And by the way, I'm actually shocked about something. And I know that Hickey is basically like French kissing Bill Ryder right now through the phone, so I have to stall for a few moments until Bill shuts up and Hickey shuts up, and then I get the attention of Ryan Hot Take Hickey. I am shocked. 20 minutes with a conversation with Zach Gelb and Bill Ryder. Not one shot at Hot Take Hickey. Those odds would have been through the roof. But no one took a shot at you there, Hickey. I'm kind of surprised. That does not happen anytime Bill and I are together.
A lot of NBA to talk about.
But usually Bill or I would go out of our way to bring you up into the conversation. And no mention right there. 20 minutes of radio gold with Bill Ryder.
Taylor Swift has surpassed me. I'm actually a little hurt. A little hurt by it.
You're really hurt by that?
I thought it was above Taylor Swift. Yeah. Clearly not.
Bill would say, Hot Take Hickey who? Trace who? if he had a chance to go on a date with Taylor Swift. All righty, we'll take a timeout. Zach Gelb.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I think I'm about to make a comment that could be, if it was like clipped out and wasn't taken in context, could be a little controversial, Hickey. So I'll run this by you. So my main man, Sully, who you've met out at the Super Bowl and the draft, who's just tremendous. He's a good friend of Andrew Perloff. We've all been out together, meals and stuff like that when we've been out on the road. And he's a good friend of Andrew Perloff, of course, the host of the Maggie and Perloff show. So Sully just texted me that he's tuning in. And Sully could be a little bit bougie. I think Sully lives very well. I love Sully. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met. But he's listening to me. He has a putting green in his backyard. And then he has a very large pool. And he said, oh, checking you out right now on CBS Sports Radio. So I appreciate Sully listening. But it triggered this thought, Hickey, that Andrew Perloff saw me in the newsroom today. I'm filling in for Maggie on Friday. So it'll be Maggie and Perloff with Zach Gelb filling in for Maggie. And Andrew was telling me that they're doing this list of the top 25 athletes since 2000. And they just recently revealed a few of the athletes. Sean White was 25. Alexander Ovechkin, 24. Shohei Ohtani, 23. Floyd Mayweather, 22. Clayton Kershaw, 21. Diana Taurasi, 20. Rafael Nadal, 19. Aaron Rodgers, 18. Sidney Crosby, 17. And then Tim Duncan in at 16. I don't know who the other spots are going to be. So hockey-wise, since Sully's a big hockey fan, two things stood out to me about that one. Number one, I'm okay with Crosby over Ovechkin. I can't stand both of them. I hate the Penguins. I hate the Capitals. But you got to give the nod and the edge to Crosby over Ovechkin, the tiebreaker, the championships. But when I look at that initial ranking, Shohei Ohtani is phenomenal. We all know that. And he's done stuff that we've never seen. He's one of one. But he hasn't been around that long. Do you think that's right to put Ovechkin, who's going to go on to have the most goals in NHL history, when it's the 25 greatest athletes since 2000 behind Shohei Ohtani? Because that one, I had a little bit of a problem with, where I would right now put Ovechkin, if you're debating the greatest athletes since 2000, in front of Shohei Ohtani. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm not even sure if Ohtani deserves to make the list, to be honest, just because I don't think he's been around long enough.
And that's what I would say. Like, we all know if it's just for like a few years, sure, absolutely. But longevity is going to play on out here. And I don't know who else is going to be on this list. But if Ohtani's there, just thinking about it from baseball perspective, and even though you view Albert Pujols more of a Cardinal as an Angel, Pujols better be on this list if you're putting Ohtani on this list. And also, where the heck is Mike Trout? Now, I know for sure, because Maggie and Perloff said that they forgot to put Mike Trout on the list. He didn't make the 25. How do you have Ohtani on the list but not Mike Trout? That's what I don't get. So Perloff told me, to keep on following this, because I think if this is the way that he explained to me and I understood it correctly, that the final five names are going to be discussed on Friday when I'm filling in. So we'll have a little conversation about that, or maybe they're all going to be out there by Friday anyway. I don't know how they're going to do it. And he said, take a look at the list, and then I'll gather some thoughts on that. But those are two that jumped out to me. From a hockey standpoint, I'm okay. Crosby in front of Ovechkin. But right away, the first thing when they released the first five names, I saw that Ohtani was in front of Ovechkin, and that didn't make any sense to me.
Ohtani's been in the majors 6 years, but this is really year three where he's doing both at a high level. He had elbow issues. He's been hitting. But really, 2021, after the pandemic, is really where he was pitching and hitting, and everyone's like, holy cow, look at this unicorn. That's not enough time. For the last 25 years, in all of sports, not just baseball, all of sports, not enough time to put him on a top 25 list.
Well, I don't know how the rest of the list is going to go, but I would imagine spots 3, 2, and 1 in no order have to go to Brady, LeBron, and Tiger Woods as well. And that's a list that I'll be really curious to see how they rank those three athletes, just what the results are going to be.
Michael Phelps probably in there, too, in the top five.
Serena's got to be on that list for tennis.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I'll just be curious to see what the top five looks like, but especially what the ranking looks like between Tiger, LeBron James, and then also Tom Brady.
They forgot Mike Trout.
That's what they told me. And Bob Costas was on yesterday, and Bob Costas was not happy with them.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. So I think
Derek
that's a prisoner of the moment.
25.
Ohtani's the great thing right now because he could do everything, but to have him in the top 25 greatest athletes since 2000, the longevity just isn't there.
Now, short lifespan or short career span, would you put Patrick Mahomes, if this was your list, in the top 25? Since 2018, which I believe is now 6 years.
If he retired tomorrow, he would be a Hall of Famer. He is well on his way. I got to see who they include the rest of the way on football. You know, so far, only Aaron Rodgers has been the only football player. Ooh, that's a great question. You know what? I would probably have to say, because of longevity since 2000, he's well on his way. He's going to be a top five quarterback of all time. I would leave him out, though, for right now. But then also, it's like, football to us is a lot more important. This is going to be a well-rounded sport list, so you're going to have to include some of those other sports that maybe you could argue, like, if you tell me who do I think is going to go on to have a greater career, is it Patrick Mahomes or Sean White, who was 25 to kick off this list? I would say that it's going to probably be Patrick Mahomes, but also I don't watch whatever Sean White does, you know?
Snowboarding?
I know what he does in terms of snowboarding, but you watching that?
Of course. Olympics? Absolutely. Every 4 years. I love the Olympics.
Okay, here we go. Hickey's going to... This is like lacrosse. Oh, I'm a big lacrosse fan. Name me someone on the Penn State lacrosse team.
I won't promise to tell you, or won't pretend that, like, I watch his events, like the X Games. I don't watch that.
He's phenomenal. Don't get me wrong.
The Olympics, absolutely. He's been great.
But you get what I'm saying there. For us, if we were making this list, we'd probably lean more football. Like, I wouldn't even have thought of Sean White. So it's a good job by them to include him on this list. You would have thought of Sean White? 25 greatest athletes since 2000?
Yeah. For opening it up, yeah. Michael Phelps, like, you open up the Pandora's box of just every sport.
Well, that's why we have you around here on CBS Sports Radio. It's a checks and balances.
Bring some balance once in a while.
I definitely would have not have remembered him. Like, I know who he is, but he would not have been on my list. 855-212-4CBS. Let me real quickly go to Michael in Boston next up on CBS Sports Radio. Michael, what's happening?
Hey, Zach. I have a sneaky surprise possibility for coach for West Virginia.
Okay.
Joe Mazzulla.
I've seen that one be mentioned. Now, he has been brought back as the Celtics head coach, but if it goes through the idea of you wait till you make the full-time hire a year from now, then that could be in play, and obviously he attended West Virginia. The only thing is, does it get really that bad with Boston this year where they're going to be looked to getting rid of him? The guy, I know he made the conference finals, and they took a step back, and they were down 3-0, then got to Game 7 and no-showed in Game 7. Do you think Mazzulla will be out, though, within 2 years?
How about looking at it from the other direction, from Mazzulla's direction? You got, like, 3 years and $14 million left on your contract. You can get probably 6-6 or 6-7 from West Virginia with no pressure. You played there. You played for Bob Huggins. It would be seamless, same style, and a lot less pressure.
But a lot more work, too.
Yeah, but a lot less pressure. I mean, it's, you know, you don't have the pressure that you have coaching the Celtics and the scrutiny and the, you know, all of that. So I'm just saying it's a sneaky possibility.
I'm just going to get on a limb here, Michael. You want Mazzulla out of Boston. That's what I gather.
No, I don't. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I don't think coaching the NBA really makes that much of a difference, you know, 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. Just like a manager in baseball. A manager in baseball, you know, might affect a game 4 or 5 times a year, really. You know, it's more what they do in the clubhouse than it is what they do actual managing.
Well, thanks for the phone call, Michael. Appreciate it. Now, years ago, I think that is a little bit different, but now with a lot of these analytic nerds and people from upstairs pretty much set in the lineup, sure, you still got to make the pitching change and things like that, but there's limitations on how often you could do that with the 3-batter minimum. Yeah, the manager's not as important as it once was. But I thought for sure, Hickey, that would be a Celtic fan who just wants Mazzulla out when you get that random call. I get the West Virginia connection that's there of, oh, yeah, go take the college job instead of the NBA job that you have right now.
I get what he's saying. Again, which is kind of ironic, but West Virginia is the pro team in that state, so you probably would get more money coaching West Virginia than you would the Celtics. It is less pressure, but, yeah, the recruiting right now with the transfer portal and NIL, it's a lot of work. I wouldn't do it. I'd rather stay right now at the Celtics in a pressure cooker than basically be working 24/7. The college coach in any sport is not one that is, you know, one that people should be craving for.
Bob Huggins had his salary reduced from $4.15 million to $3.15 million. And Joe Mazzulla has, let me just make sure that this number that the man said on the phone was right. Yeah, $14 million coming his way over the next 3 years. So I think Mazzulla makes more money at the NBA because he's not going to be getting a Huggins salary to start. That's for a guy that was there forever and is a Hall of Famer. I think you make more money in the pros. Now you go on to have a legendary college coaching career. Sure, the price goes up. If I'm Mazzulla, I'm staying in Boston because it's a great situation until they tell me I'm no longer wanting, no longer my services aren't wanted there instead of going back to West Virginia. But we got to see how this year does play out. And if they have a rocky year and he feels like he's on the verge of losing his job, maybe he would go and become the coach of West Virginia. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back with a little topic on the Minnesota Vikings, because I read one report today and I don't think this is a good move by Minnesota if this is true. We'll get to that on the other side.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So Hickey and I are going to be with all the media members tomorrow. Going to be a lot of people that we like, a lot of people that we probably can't stand, as we're all going to be gathered at a hotel in New York City where there are going to be some pre-draft media availability. And Victor Wembanyama is going to address us at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Hickey, you're going to try to get a question off to Victor Wembanyama. I am as well. I was at the Zion Williamson media availability for the pre-draft years ago, and that thing was a zoo. And I think I got like 3 or 4 questions off to him. What is the one question? If you got one exclusive question to Victor Wembanyama, Hickey, what are you planning on asking him? I'm wondering if Hickey's going to go serious here or if it's going to be something joking. If I know Hickey the way that I know him, I think he'll probably ask something really serious, but what are you going to ask Victor Wembanyama?
Well, I'll tell you what I won't ask him about his pitching skills, because I don't know if you saw the first
Not
pitch
good?
Today. It was atrocious.
Oh, no.
It was absolutely atrocious. He spiked it. He had the worst form I've ever seen. It was ugly. So I now know why he's a basketball player, not a baseball pitcher. So
but
I won't ask him about that.
That is like trying to throw a little pool ball, as you said, with how small that baseball is in his hand. It's not surprising to me that he had a bad first
You can't
pitch.
Throw a cue ball. You can throw a cue ball.
I'm
it's
just
not
saying,
that hard.
When his hand is so much larger than the baseball, I feel like it's an awkward grip on the baseball because your fingers can't rest comfortably when your hands are that much bigger, if you get what I'm saying.
I think if it was, if we had, I mean, I don't know, it would be like almost like a...
Ooh, I'm seeing the video now.
It's bad.
It's the,
really bad.
The step with his front foot, he like raises it in the air, going through the pitching motion. It's so far off to the left. And then it looks like the ball, this video is not great, but it shoots all the way to the backstop, more towards the left side of the plate.
Yeah, if he was a lefty batter, his left ankle's broken. And probably not broken because it rolled in there like 50 miles an hour. But yeah, we now know why he's not a pitcher.
So who cares?
What I would ask him in all seriousness.
By the way, I don't think you would throw a great ceremonial first pitch, by the way.
Oh, I would.
No, you wouldn't.
I would practice.
I think the pressure would get to you.
I would make sure my form is tip-top. And I'm going to the mound, by the way. I'm not going halfway. This Fugazi first pitch. I'm going to the mound, full windup.
Well, he was on the mound, wasn't he?
No, I'm not saying he wasn't. He was. I'm saying some people don't. Some people are on the grass.
I don't know. I think if Hickey's throwing out a ceremonial first pitch, he's running kind of like awkwardly, dorky-like. All right, there's an applause. Please just don't boo me. And then you hesitate and you kind of throw the ball. And I don't think it would be 50 Cent style or Baba Booey style when throwing the first pitch. But I do think you're bouncing that baseball.
Here's how I envision my first pitch going. It's a Mets playoff game. They asked me to throw the first pitch out.
Here he is from CBS Sports Radio. His takes are so hot. Let's see if he can throw a hot ceremonial first pitch. Hot take, Hickey. Boo!
I don't know why they're booing me. I'm wearing a Mets jersey. I'm running out there. Get to the top of the mound. I go from the windup. I go from the stretch because I would be a little bit afraid my mechanics get a little sloppy.
Today, Junior!
Stretch, fire a fastball in there, and then once it's a strike, crowd goes wild to take my shirt off, start waving it around, get the crowd fired up here before a playoff game. And I think already before the first pitch is even thrown, the opponent, whoever it is, hopefully the Braves, already psyched out, game over.
I think you have like this alter ego where you envision yourself as being somebody, but that's not truly who you are. There is no way you're at a Mets playoff game and you would have the stones to take your shirt off and wave it around like it's a rally towel after throwing a ceremonial first pitch.
If it's a strike, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I think it's not. You saw it after you did the push-ups. It was almost instinct.
That's sitting right next to me, not 50,000 people in a stadium. Come on. You don't have the stones to do that.
I will say, you're right. There is an alter ego that presents itself. When it comes to big games, especially sports, a different persona takes over. Mm-hmm. Where now all of a sudden I'm playing to the crowd. Or like my goal is not to throw out the first pitch. My goal is to get this crowd at a level that is just so ridiculously high that it will be unmatched by anything the opponent could do. And that's why I think seeing that, and usually most people don't even care about the first pitch, probably a full house because everyone's getting ready to see the game. I'm really putting them into a frenzy.
You want people to get jacked up over your ceremonial first pitch? When you do that, you take your shirt off and you run around like a madman. You have a security guard just tackle you and deck you and drag you off the field, then people would get going. People would go
I think just the strike down the middle and then taking the shirt off, waving it around, like getting basically saying, let's go, let's effing go to the crowd, I think they would eat that up, personally.
Boomer Esiason would be like, who's that 13-year-old boy on the field with the high-pitched voice?
That's how I envision it going one day. So Mets, ball's in your court, I'm out, I'm open, and I'm ready to get the crowd fired up.
You've definitely had a dream about this before.
No, but now that you mention it, I'm just like, you know what? That's the ideal first pitch. Because I feel like my role there is not to throw a strike. My role is to get the crowd fired up. Okay. And part of that is throwing a strike right down the middle. I'm not going to hit 95.
You know what would happen, 60. Though? A team would never ask you to do this because you're a mush. So you go out there for the ceremonial first pitch, team's going to lose 13-0 in a big game.
Well,
you know that's true.
No, I would say it's more true that I'm never going to amount to anything in my career where they're going to want a sports radio host to throw out the first. No sports radio host in general, no matter how good I am, will ever throw out the first pitch at a playoff game. You can in game 65, no problem. For a playoff game, they usually reserve that for big-time celebrities.
There's some big-time celebrities on the radio.
I never envision myself getting to that level. But if that ever day comes, Mets, you have they don't have my number, but you can get my number very easily. And I'm ready to help out.
So I saw that Jeremy Fowler said, could be big money on the way at some point, talking about the Vikings extension potentially of Justin Jefferson. The Vikings believe that he's a cornerstone player, the best receiver in the league. They want to sign him to an extension at some point. Two potential hurdles in the way, though. He's only 3 years into a rookie deal that has 2 years left with the fifth-year option, so not a major rush to do it right now. That's what Jeremy Fowler said. So he's going into year four right now. You already have the fifth-year option picked up. I think it would be a massive mistake, especially because we don't know the direction that the Minnesota Vikings are heading in right now. We don't know if Kirk Cousins will be back next year. You don't know who will be throwing him the football. You already just said goodbye to Patrick Peterson, Za'Darius Smith, Dalvin Cook. If I'm the Minnesota Vikings, I think there needs to be a rush. I think there needs to be a hurry to get this Justin Jefferson extension done, because you don't want him at the end of this year going into the final year of his contract to start to question his love and his loyalty and his desire to stay with the franchise that drafted him. And if he doesn't know his quarterback's going to be next year and he still hasn't gotten paid, maybe he would want to start to entertain going somewhere else. So if I'm Minnesota, you say goodbye to Dalvin Cook, you say goodbye to a lot of other players. We think there's going to be some regression this year. I'm not allowing the opportunity to present itself where Justin Jefferson maybe starts to wonder if it's best for him to be a part of the Minnesota Vikings long term. And that's why I think there needs to be a rush, and you got to get this deal done by week one. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio when we return. We call that segment the News Brief, and we'll come on back in 5 minutes.